For my siblings, both inside and outside of the simulation, Irfan, Samina, Rubina, Furkan, and Adnan. Forward to the second edition. The first edition of this book, The Simulation Hypothesis, was published precisely to the day on the 20th anniversary of the most talked about film of the last year of the 20th century, The Matrix. Perhaps it is not entirely coincidental that I am writing this forward to the second edition on the 25th anniversary of that blockbuster science fiction film, which has become the most recognizable pop culture shorthand for the central thesis of this book, that far from living in a physical world of matter, we live inside a computer-generated reality built on information. This reality can be thought of as either a multiplayer video game or a computer simulation, depending on your orientation. For those listeners who want to waste no time and jump directly into the main arguments of this book, that is, the reasons why, as the original subtitle indicates, I believe that AI, quantum physics, and Eastern mystics all agree we are in a video game, feel free to skip this forward and go right to Chapter 1, Introduction to the Simulation Hypothesis. In this forward, I want to explain why I'm writing a second edition at this time. In the 5 years that have passed since the first edition, artificial intelligence, AI, one of the central pillars supporting my arguments in this book, has progressed unexpectedly quickly. Even the tech pundits who have been predicting AGI, artificial general intelligence, within decades are now feverishly updating their estimates to declare that we will get artificial consciousness on par with humans in only a few years. This may be another case of real life, if we can call it that, mirroring science fiction. In The Matrix, Morpheus, played by Lawrence Fishburne, explains to Neo, played by Keanu Reeves, who has just taken the red pill, that AI was perfected sometime in the early 21st century. An unexpectedly popular and universal idea. But first, a little perspective. When I published the first edition, I had no idea that the book would be so popular, becoming a kind of cult classic. I believe that, unlike most cult classics, which appeal to a narrow audience, the reason for the book's success was because it spoke to many different groups of people. From teenagers to their parents, from technology enthusiasts to hardcore scientists, from New Age and holistic practitioners to adherents of traditional religions, from armchair philosophers to professional academics. In emails and in public reviews, readers have called the book everything from a beach read for geeks to a spiritual book that changed my life. Just browsing the contents of this book will reveal that I cover a lot of different subjects. Although some of the most religiously, scientifically minded readers may find it odd that I spend a whole section, part 3, of this book discussing spirituality, religious concepts, and unexplained phenomena, the breadth of topics covered is deliberate. I am of the firm belief that the simulation hypothesis represents a kind of universal bridge that allows techno-scientific people to be more spiritual in their view of life, and allows spiritual people to be more techno-scientific in their outlook, with neither having to abandon their core ideas about the universe. A point that listeners from all walks of life often made to me was that they had come to similar conclusions, that the universe is some kind of simulation or video game. Yet, they were never sure how to articulate this insight without sounding, to put it mildly, off their rocker. This was as true of scientists as it was of those who have had unexplainable spiritual episodes, such as near-death experiences mentioned in Part 3, How Simulation Explains the Unexplainable, The Mystics. All of these disparate groups found that the simulation hypothesis gave them a new vocabulary to use so that their insights were taken more seriously. This was just as true for religious readers who now had a new vocabulary to discuss the cosmology of their sacred scriptures as well. This was particularly true of younger generations, for whom the language of video games is a much more natural way to understand both science and religion. Speaking of younger generations, who grew up not only with computers, but with constant immersion in multiplayer video game worlds, they are another group that